Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
On March 1st of this year, a forum was held here at Stanford entitled, When the World is Aflame. It featured a number of very, very prominent political scientists from here at Stanford, all of whom had held key positions in the United States State Department or at the United Nations. And during the day-long discussions, the participants characterized the world today as an explosive geopolitical environment, particularly given the crisis of overwhelming refugee and migration movements. The experts didn't offer any clear solutions. They said all we had to do was choose between multiple inferior choices. At the end of the day, though, they did say that no matter how grim the moment may seem, people everywhere long for dignity and self-determination. That was a fundamental truth. The past 2 weeks, the world has been absorbed by the showcase of determination by athletes at the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. I've been fascinated especially by the stories of the 10 refugee Olympians. Now, every one of the Olympians has gone through challenges and trials in order to arrive in Rio, but the stories of these 10 are particularly remarkable. You may have seen or read about Yousa Mardini, who's the freestyle swimmer from Syria. She leapt from a small inflatable dinghy that she occupied with members of her family and other refugees whose motor had died off the coast of the island of Lesbos in Greece. In the dark of night and amidst dangerous seas, she and her sister and others pulled the boat to safety and onto their next step in their journey to freedom. No Olympic refugees, however, have been more far-flung than the judo competitors Popole Masinga and Yolande Mabika, both from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Masinga lost her mother to the 5-year conflict in the Congo when she was a baby. And Mabika was separated from her family as a child. And her hope for the Olympics is that if she receives any renown whatsoever, that it might help her father and mother and brother to search her out. Though the athletes' routes to the games differ, all of the refugees in the Olympics have the same mission: to change the conversation. They know that refugees have become scapegoats for people who fear the other. They're too often wrongly characterized as being criminals or unclean. In Rio, they want to change the picture from that of crowded camps and bodies washed ashore. They want to change how we think and fear strangers. So why begin a homily about today's readings from Scripture talking about a Stanford seminar and refugee Olympians? I do so because of Jesus' words in the gospel we just heard. He shouts, "Do you think I came here to establish peace? No, I have come to set the world on fire." Now, over the past few months, you and I have heard many passages from the Gospel of Luke. And in most of them, the gift that Jesus gives is the gift of peace. For example, peace to those on whom God's favor rests, and guide our feet onto the path of peace. So it's somewhat shocking to hear this Prince of Peace talking about fire and creating division. Yet it's shocking only until you consider and think back to John's Gospel, where the evangelist tells us what Jesus said to his disciples the night before he died. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. Yes, this is a spirit whom, alas, the world cannot receive. The key here is the word truth. Prince of Peace that he is, Jesus would nonetheless always speak the truth, for peace cannot be built on a lie. And so, the Spirit of God that would be to come would remind us of truth. But that fact, as Jesus said, is precisely the problem, because the world has a hard time dealing with truth, and thus the division. And more to the point, those who come speaking the truth can end up having him or herself thrown into a cistern, like Jeremiah in today's first reading, or like Jesus, to be led off to Calvary. The fact is that truth-telling always comes at a price. It calls us to stand against the conspiracies of silence. Conspiracies that justify our saying, well, I don't want to say anything because I want to keep the peace. Or for some of us, sometimes we're up to our chins in a cesspool of you know what, and what do we say? Don't anybody make waves. And yet, the uncomfortable spotlight of truth is often forced on us. Remember for a moment those 10 Olympic refugees. They're not just 10 individuals. They represent 21 million refugees around the world, and another 44 forcibly displaced people. 65 million people. That's greater than the majority of countries who are participating in the Olympic Games. And not 65 million trespassers or criminals. 65 million human beings. We may be moved to standing ovations at the arrival of team refugees. However, if at the same time we can't be moved by the presence of refugees around the world, there's a problem. Similarly, we call ourselves pro-life, and so we're against abortion. And we also need to take a stand against the death penalty and against assisted suicide. And if we're concerned about racial tensions and inequality in this country, then we also have to start talking about the deplorable state of education in our inner cities. Some of these topics have become so polarized that when a thoughtful person says a sentence, he or she is immediately drowned out with shouting. In today's gospel, Jesus is telling his followers and us that we must call out the truth, even if it makes us vulnerable. Your ideas may be dismissed as too soft, or you might be called hard-hearted and calculating. You may even be told, you are intolerant, which typically means that your views are the polar opposite of the other person's opinion. True tolerance means to disagree without rancor and with charity. Christian tolerance requires hard work, and it may sometimes create divisions. As an opinionated New Yorker, I know that this takes practice. Lots of practice. The gospel message is meant to start a fire in each of us, taking seriously the words of Jesus, can cause trouble in our lives. And yet, the Lord is asking us to respond to the movements of the Spirit and to do so with love. This Stanford Symposium entitled When the World Became a Flame ended with this question: where does the Stanford community fit in the equation? And we would do well to heed the advice that was shared that day. Each of the participants, although they were from different points on the political spectrum, emphasized that we have a moral obligation to do what we can on behalf of migrants and refugees around the world. They also talked about how we need to have this conversation in a respectful manner. It cannot begin in fear. And finally, they all emphasized how we need to put our minds and our hearts and our hands to building out a robust infrastructure and architecture here in the United States that will welcome and that will integrate tens of thousands of refugees into the United States. As we approach the table of the Lord, we ask for the courage to discern and know God's Spirit in our lives. We also ask for the freedom to focus on the one who kindles love in our lives in the first place, the one who's on the side of the victim, who, like that statue of Christ the Redeemer who towers over the city of Rio, spreads his arm in protection for all of those participating and enjoying the games there, and for all of us in the human community.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.